Pine Cove. Chris has blessed us with his time. He's come out. He's going to teach us and continue the series on Hello, My Name Is, as we explore and look at the names of God. So you guys, we all welcome to the stage Chris Boddy with me, please.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Guys, how are we doing tonight? Good? Kind of? Not really? School? Monday? That was a horrible feeling, I know. Hey, I might get really loud, so you just, I feel like I'm so closed in up here. Bron, how do you even stand up here? Your head up in the rafters? Hey, my name's Chris Boddy. I am from San Antonio, Texas. I am a diehard Spurs fan. And by diehard, I mean if they make it to the playoffs, I'll root for them, but that's basically an NBA fan, right? 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 But I really hate the Mavericks, so I feel like that's good. I got that off my chest. I really, even worse, hate the Cowboys. This is going south right from the beginning. But I love Dallas, and I love Watermark. Yeah, good, good. Hey, I went to the University of Wheaton College. Yeah, yeah, up in Chicago. You cannot get farther from San Antonio. And then I worked at Kanakuk for, I don't know, like 5 years as a summer staffer, and then another 5 years full-time. I worked for a ministry called K-Life in St. Louis, and then worked for a ministry at Kanakuk called the Kanakuk Institute, and then my wife and I moved down to Tyler, Texas in 08 to start working for Pine Cove. So we are really excited to be here. My wife is back there in the back. She's smoking hot. Hey, don't turn around and look at her. She's back there. We have two boys. One of our sons' names is Brex, B-R-E-X. It's a weird name, but that's his name. And then our other son, his name's Jet, J-E-T, and they are studs. I love my boys. They're awesome. They're in Dallas, but they're not here because nothing would get accomplished. They'd be yelling. They're really loud and full of energy, but they are awesome. They asked me to speak. It continues the series, Hello, My Name Is God. And so tonight I'm going to be talking about God as Jehovah Jireh, his name. It says it right back there. But, you know, this has been a cool week for me learning because this is something that I hadn't studied before or even dug into. So it's been really fun this week to kind of dig into this and really see who God is by his names. I'm sure it's been an awesome study for y'all, but it's been really fun for me. So I just want to take a few minutes and I want to share with you some of the things that I've been learning about God through his name, Jehovah Jireh. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis 22. Are your iPhones? Everyone's got their iPhone out. That's awesome. It's going to be up on the screen, too. We're going to read it real quick, and then we're going to talk about it. And my sister-in-law just sent me a picture of my kids, but you can't see that, so that's not going to work. Okay, it says this, Genesis 22, it says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham said, here I am. Whoa. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains, which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took his two young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there, worship, and come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac, and he took in the other hand fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went on together. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, on this mount the Lord shall provide. Hey, let me pray real quick. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that the fact that it was written so long ago still applies to us today. And Lord, it's just a testimony of your grace, your goodness, to give us the very words of God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's a lot in this passage that we could go into, but we don't have a lot of time. So what I really just want to focus on is Jehovah Jireh. And maybe in your small groups this week, y'all can talk about the rest of it and God's test and the way that Abraham was obedient. And there's so many awesome things in there that you can talk about. But at the very end, he calls the place the Lord provides, or Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And so as I've been studying this and looking through it, it's been unbelievable the parallels between this story and the cross of Christ. And I'm just going to tell you a few of them that stuck out to me. And there's more than this, but here's a few of them. Twice in this passage, God says, "Take your one and only son, Isaac." We know Abraham had two sons, right? Right? He had two sons. But he says in this passage twice, "Your one and only son." And then you look forward in John 3:16, Matthew 3:7, God says, "This is my beloved son, my one and only son. For God gave his one and only son." So there's the parallel there. They were to offer him, they were to sacrifice him on the hill, Genesis 22:2 says. In Matthew 21, we know that Jesus was crucified on a hill called Golgotha. They took a donkey to the sacrifice, which I thought was interesting. They took a donkey there. Jesus, you know, rode a donkey into town when he was going to be slaughtered, when he was going to his own sacrifice. It was a 3 days journey. Obviously, Jesus was dead for 3 days, and then he rose again. The son carried the wood. It says that Abraham strapped the wood to his son Isaac. Jesus carried his own wooden cross to his sacrifice as well. The son was offered on wood. Jesus was crucified on a cross. This is a cool one too. There was a ram that was caught in the thickets, thorns. Jesus wore a crown of thorns. That was the one that really stuck out to me this week. Like, oh, it's awesome. You know, the cool thing about it is here's these guys trying to do harm to Jesus. Little did they know, they were just amplifying that this is the Messiah. This is the sacrificial lamb. They had no clue. They were trying to harm him, and God used it to megify. Hey, I just spit really bad. I'm sorry, that probably went second row. I'm really sorry. To megify, hey, this is the Messiah. All the way back from the story of Isaac, this is him. And so, as I was saying about, and then after this, you know, Isaac was spared in it, and he called the place, "The Lord will provide." And so I started thinking about the gospel. Obviously, this whole story is about the gospel. Everything about it, it happened to foreshadow what was going to happen on the cross. And the Lord will provide. And I started thinking, man, we sang songs tonight about Jesus paid it all. And he did on the cross. And any time I think of the gospel, I think of Jesus Christ surrendering his life to pay it all. But we rarely think about God in the story of the gospel. I should say, y'all probably do. I rarely thought of God's part of the gospel. Jehovah Jireh in the story, he's in it. So listen to this. Listen to the gospel in Jehovah Jireh's perspective. Isaiah 53:10 says this, and I'll read it so I don't mess it up. Isaiah 53:10. Should have marked it. Says this, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. It was God's will to crush his son. It was God's will to put him to grief. You know, when I think of the gospel, I think of Jesus and he's surrendering his life in this awesome, beautiful story, which it is. But I rarely think of the other side. It was God's will to crush his son. God being the provider, that's his name, Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide. It was his will to crush his son in order to provide for us. And guys, this has radically changed the gospel for me. Because think about this. Think about when Jesus is in the garden. You know what I'm talking about. The night before he was crucified, Jesus is in the garden and he is so stressed out about the death that awaits him that he is literally sweating blood. Literally sweating blood. And he goes out into the garden and he tells some boys to stay here and he goes a little bit farther and he's on his knees for over an hour, the scripture says, pleading with his dad. If there's any other way, God, if there is any other way, Daddy, if there's any other way, please. Please, let's do it. Take this cup from me. If there's any other way. And we have this loving dad, Jehovah Jireh, who wants to provide so much, and he just holds his son down. And he says, sorry. Can you imagine? I have two boys, and I love my boys to death. I mean, causing them pain, I can't even imagine what it must have been like for God as he held his son down for over an hour as he pleaded in sweated blood. Sorry. An all-powerful God. He sat there. This is it. This is the way. Can you imagine as they came and they got Jesus and they walked him across the valley and he's standing in trial and they blindfold him and they start hitting him in the face. They just start punching him and say, hey, prophesy, who was it? And they're spitting on him and they're mocking him. And the entire time, Jehovah Jireh is sitting there holding his son down. And then think about this. As the guards pull him away and they start beating his back with a whip. You know, and there's glass and bone and all sorts of junk on the end of it. And it's just ripping into his skin and they're pulling it off. In fact, earlier in Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was so badly beaten that he wasn't even recognizable anymore. Can you imagine his dad sitting there and watching his son literally being beaten to death? And can you imagine when they're twisting the thorns together and driving it into his skull? And as Jesus is sitting there on the cross and they start nailing his hands and feet to it, and he literally suffocates. And his all-powerful dad, with who knows how much amount of agony must have been going on in heaven, but he just held his son down. I mean, this is a beautiful part of the gospel that we miss, that I have missed for a long, long time. I mean, there is a beautiful story of redemption in Jesus' will to surrender his life to his Father because he knows that's our only way. But there's also this beautiful story of a God who will always provide, even if it costs him everything. Even to the point of sacrificing his own son. Praise the Lord, one of his names is Jehovah Jireh. That he was willing to sit through that and watch his son. Not only that, but since he had the power to rescue his son, to literally kill his son. To provide a way for you and I to be included into his family. The Lord will provide. Here's one of the problems. I feel like, as I was studying this, as I was looking at it, you know, Abraham doesn't call the place the Lord has provided. The Lord provided. Jehovah Jireh did. I don't know how to make that past tense. He doesn't call it that. The Lord provided, yes, and he calls it the Lord will provide. His name is not he provided. It is the Lord will provide. It's not in the past, it's ongoing, it's present, future. The Lord will provide. The problem is I live most of my Christian life, the Lord has provided. And that's it. I know the gospel, I'm a Christian. The Lord provided, praise his name. I know all the answers. But I don't know him as the Lord will provide. You know, I'm too scared to step out to watch him provide. I'm too scared. You know, when I know that everyone else is doing the wrong thing, when I know I shouldn't, I won't step up because I don't know if he's going to provide. The truth is, he is a provider. His name is he provides. We know that he provides strength to the weary. We know he tells his boys, look, when you're up in front of the synagogue and you're up in front of the Pharisees, don't worry about what to say. I'm going to give you the words to speak. That's true for us. Look, I know that y'all are in circles at school, whatever, that are going down the wrong path, and we won't stand up and we won't say anything because we don't believe Jehovah Jireh that he'll provide in those moments. And honestly, our culture doesn't know him as Jehovah Jireh because so few people are willing to obey. I mean, the only reason Abraham got to a point where he could call the place Jehovah Jireh is because there was unadulterated obedience to God. It was absolutely unwavering, passionate obedience to God. So my question, do you know him as Jehovah Jireh? You know, this whole story started with God testing Abraham. to see where his heart was. Abraham was sitting there about to kill his son. So, how are you doing? There's tests every day. Simple ones is obeying your mother and father. When you're obedient, you know him as Jehovah Jireh. And that's what separates the heroes of the faith that we read about, long to be, and me. They were willing. I mean, even Paul, when he's saying goodbye to the church of Ephesus, and he says, I don't know what's going to happen to me. All I know that in every city, prisons and hardships are facing me. But I consider it all nothing. I'll give my life because this is what God, and God will provide. Man, when you know him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, your life looks radical. What do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? Who cares if your friends leave you? He'll never leave you or forsake you. Who cares what man can do to you? The Lord will always provide for his children. Not money, cars, But he will always provide. It might not look like what you want it to. For those of you that don't know the Lord, what I want you to take away from this is, look, the Lord Jehovah Jireh went to far extremes to show you how much he loves you. He went to far extremes to kill his son because he loved you that much. He wanted to provide a way where you could eternally live with him. So know that. When you walk out these doors, just know, if nothing else, you are dearly loved. And for those of you that are walking with the Lord, just know, tests are coming this week. What's going to be squeezed out when those tests come? A heart passionately devoted to the Lord like Abraham? Or if you're anything like me, especially in high school, a Christian coward that never knew God as Jehovah Jireh because I was never willing to obey. Let me pray for us. Jehovah Jireh, thank you, Lord, that you are a God that will provide. Lord, thank you for the fact that on that same mountain where Abraham and Isaac were, the temple that Solomon built was built on that same mountain, Lord, and you provided a way for sinful man to be in the presence of God. And Lord, thank you that on that very same mountain, when you killed your son, the veil was ripped. You no longer have to go to that mountain for God to provide. Lord, you live within us. Lord, you always provide for those who are obedient. If it's just contentment in the midst of valleys, Lord, if it's just peace in the midst of trouble, Lord, if it's just stamina in the midst of persecution, Lord, you provide. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' holy name, amen.